Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio is what you are listening to, and we appreciate that. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Did you have a good weekend?
I had a good, very good weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And Walker Wildman?
Good morning.
Good morning, Walker. Your weekend?
Very well.
Very well, okay. Mm-hmm. Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family Radio. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to be back with you folks again.
Yeah, you were off to North Carolina for Alex's...
Yes, Alex McFarland's Truth for a New Generation.
Just how'd that go?
Fantastic conference.
Really?
It really was. Our own Abe was there.
Abraham Hamilton
III. He was there. Gave a great talk. I was just talking to Abe before I came in the studio. He talked about the influence of people on the continent of Africa in the building of the early church in the first and second century.
I've never heard that topic.
Never heard it. It's just, and I said, Abe, I've never heard that before. He said, really? Because he thought a lot of people knew this. For instance, the Ethiopian eunuch, which Philip led him to the Lord,
right.
That story in Scripture. The Ethiopian eunuch went back to Ethiopia and was instrumental in starting the church there. And, of course, countries like Tunisia and others, modern-day Libya, they're all mentioned in the Scripture.
Well, a lot of the brain power of the early church was located in North Africa. St. Augustine,
yes.
Of Hippo, that's near Carthage, I think.
Yeah.
Ancient Carthage.
What's a eunuch?
Well, eunuch is somebody who has been degendered, been gelded.
Why would that be something you would note?
Why would you note it, or why would you do it?
Why is he known as the Ethiopian eunuch?
Well,
why
because he was a government official who had been made into a eunuch. And what you did if you were a government.
This is why I'm asking the question. There's got to be a reason.
Yeah, that, right? you want someone who's around your wife and your daughters, maybe teaching them as part of your staff, mm-hmm. not to be able to do anything.
Would you sign up for that?
No.
Okay, just wondered.
Yeah.
All right, but anyway, Wednesday we can get Abraham Hamilton III.
To explain about being a eunuch.
Yeah. No, we'll skip the eunuch stuff. We'll just go with the influence of the of Africa.
Mm-hmm. The early church.
And the early church. That's a very interesting topic.
But also, one of the more, they're all interesting. Josh McDowell was there, ran into him. He's a very colorful dresser, by the way, in case you didn't know.
Oh, yes. The older he gets, the wilder his clothes, Josh McDowell.
Yeah.
He's liable to wear a Lakers bright yellow shirt with a...
He looks like a hip-hop artist,
yes,
actually.
With a big gold chain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had great talk from him. But also a former, he's a Muslim who has become a Christian. But his name is Kamel Salim, all right? And he grew up in southern Lebanon. And was recruited into terrorism, as so many young men are. He had terrorist missions into Israel as a kid. And then eventually the Muslim Brotherhood recruited him to come to the United States, mm-hmm. to convert people here to be an influence on campus. But then he was in a car accident. And the doctors who took care of him were Christians.
Mm.
And he was blown away, his first exposure to real Christianity. He became a Christian. And now he is out there preaching the gospel both to non-Muslims and Muslims and Islamic people. Now, here's what's interesting. The whole time during this conference, there was a guy following him around, his personal bodyguard.
Yeah.
He doesn't say where he lives. I was just on a website. It has what do they call that? Not a picture of his wife, but a...
silhouette.
A silhouette,
yeah.
Of his wife. Mm. But, just fascinating. And he talked about the number of Muslims who are coming to Christ around the world. We're talking thousands every month. And he talked about, and we've heard this from other Christians before, Muslims who are having dreams.
Yeah.
And And I was skeptical.
About Jesus.
About Jesus and the gospel message. They are being told this in dreams. When I first heard that report a couple of years ago, I was skeptical.
Right.
I have to admit, you know, is this really happening? But I've heard it from so many sources now, it's got to be true.
Yeah. And that's exciting news that Muslims are coming to Christ. And you know what's, you know, I've thought about, I don't know whether this is going to happen. This is not a prophetic thing. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't it be interesting with all these Muslims going to Europe, mm-hmm. which is basically turned away from God, and if revival broke out in the Muslim population in Europe,
yeah.
and you have all these people there that are starting to become Christian who were serious about their Muslim faith, now they're serious about their Christian faith, mm-hmm. and God turns Europe around because of Muslims getting saved and becoming Christians.
Yeah. One big hurdle there that God can overcome. When you're a Muslim and you convert to Christianity, you have a death sentence on you. Mm-hmm.
They don't care, though.
No.
These guys in Iran and places like that, mm-hmm. they've counted the cost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the exact, what I'm saying is that's the exact opposite of the milquetoast Christians that are already in Europe. Not all of them, I'm just saying. All these ones like the Archbishop of Canterbury and all this kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, they're Christian in name only.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're really not.
Look at the Coptic Christians who were captured and beheaded by ISIS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have a choice in the matter.
Well,
they could have denounced their faith.
Yeah, they could have denounced their faith.
Well, that is true, Walker.
Yeah.
Good point. Hey, Walker, tell us what we're doing on, as Ed says, that their internet.
Yeah, we are live streaming on Facebook. Today's issue is on Facebook. We also have a YouTube channel, so if you want to visit us on
our
YouTube,
own channel?
That's right. Type in today's
issue. What do we do
live?
The other 24 hours of the day with our channel?
We
besides
have
this show.
We have this show archived there, so you can watch it there.
So it's looping.
That's right.
Okay. So if you want to watch this show, you can go to the internet and go to YouTube or Facebook and just type in Today's Issues Live. And you can watch our show there and comment on the program as well. We do have these programs archived where you can – also, we have podcast, right?
Yeah, AFR.net.
If you go to AFR.net, but we have all our shows podcast.
That's right.
Right? Or at least most all of our shows podcast on there, AFR.net. All right, go ahead, Fred.
Just one more thing about the conference.
Yes.
Alex was mentioning how many people, and there were over 1,000 people there, but how many people arrived at that conference because of what they heard on American Family Radio.
Yeah.
Many dedicated listeners. American Family Radio listeners.
Yeah.
Even a family from Detroit. They heard about it Thursday morning, I think it was, and they drove down 800 miles.
We don't even have a station in Detroit. They must listen on the internet.
A lot more people are doing that.
Because of our app.
That's right.
The app, the American Family Radio app. We have listeners who don't get our radio stations who are part of the AFR family. Well, they had a big rally in Washington, D.C., and I guess other places across the country. What was the name of the rally?
Well, it was a march.
Save Our Lives.
Save Our Lives.
Now, this was in response to the shooting, the deaths at the school there in Florida by the
Parkland.
Yeah, the Park. Is that what it's called? Parkland High School?
No, Parkland is the town.
The town.
Stoneman Douglas, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas.
But after that, you know, there began to be a lot of people on the left claiming they wanted more gun control, and more gun control would stop these kinds of things from happening at schools. That's their argument. And that the National Rifle Association and those politicians who agree with the NRA on the Second Amendment, for example, are really responsible for murder. That's the argument being put forth right by the left, right?
That's right.
And by these people who rally. Now, what is it, Walker, can you figure out, did you read, what is it, like you guys' opinion here, that these... I don't know. Was there 800,000 on the mall in Washington?
No, there was projected
that's what
to be that
they
many.
Said.
That was the claim of the people who put it on.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, well, you can cut that in half.
Right.
It's probably it really doesn't. If as long as you got over 100,000, that's an impressive number for any kind of rally to me. So that's just for argument's sake to say they had 800,000. I don't know. That's really not the point. The point is, what is it that they want? Did you hear any of the speeches or any? Did they list a these things we want by this?
Some do have legitimate policy proposals that they think would
that don't violate things. The Second Amendment.
Some might be in conflict with the Second Amendment. Some might not be. But overall, I know one of the speakers. I think his name's David Hogg, Hogg.
He's like their rock star now.
Yeah, it's almost kind of odd how polished of a speaker he is, considering he was just a 17-year-old high school student down in Florida with no notoriety 2 months ago. But all of a sudden, he's a rock star, like Ed said. But, I mean, he just shamed the NRA and blood on your hands, Marco Rubio, blood on your hands. I mean, it was a bashing of anyone who is for the Second Amendment.
Stop just right there. So you're telling me this guy's against the Second Amendment?
He wants to severely restrict gun ownership in America.
Seems to me like a violation of the Second Amendment.
A couple things that they propose is, number one, there's this false narrative out there. They use the term assault rifle. Even the media, well-respected media outlets, repeat the term assault rifle.
Right.
They'll say, this group's calling for an assault weapons ban. Well, there's already an assault weapons ban. You cannot, it's a rigorous process to own a fully automatic weapon in the U.S. It's very rare. But it's not an assault, there's not assault weapons just floating around
right.
like we use in the Middle East to fight wars. So that's a false premise. So they will say, we want to ban assault rifles. Well, that's already been done, but thank you for trying. But really what they want to get at is this. They want to ban semi-automatic rifles. That's what they want to do when they say assault rifles.
Okay, if you had to get to the bottom line of what this whole movement's about, now I believe a lot of these kids out there, even a lot of the liberal activists, celebrities, they don't want guns. They want us to be Europe. That's what's driving them.
If they could have everything they wanted world, done, here's what they would have done.
Right. While they have their own security details
that
are armed to the teeth,
right.
They want the little man out there in the country not to have access to guns. That's what they...
Yeah, if you made one of them king for a day, here's what they would do. They would ban semi-automatic rifles. They would ban, quote, high-capacity magazines, and just they would resort to single-action, bolt-action rifles and single-action shotguns, or single-shot shotguns.
In the name of what?
In the name of stopping school violence and shootings and murders.
Okay.
Yeah.
Protected kids. I've watched this David Hogg on there, and he's all over the media.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just all over the left wing.
What's
media.
He calling for?
It's never anything specific. That's you can't pin most of these people down.
Right.
In fact, they had several groups that went to this protest, and they walked around asking, "Do you want to ban assault? Yeah, I want to ban assault rifles. What is an assault rifle? Crickets."
Yeah,
none of it. Not
that's,
a single
that's why
one of
I brought
them
this
could
topic
define
up,
it. They can't even
frankly.
Tell define what they're talking about.
No. I think this is just a bunch of far left people who they had gays against guns marching, and I think I think it was just a far left rally, kind of like the women's rally,
right?
Of the day after the inauguration. Mm-hmm. I think these people just hate.
They support each other.
They hate they conservatives. They hate President Trump. Yeah. They hate the Second Amendment.
So you'll have feminists will support the anti-gun people.
Yes.
And the gays, and they all support each other at their rallies.
Yes.
Because they want their movements
right.
to look massive
yes.
and part of something greater because right. they're trying to convince the mushy middle.
But here's the other thing. They don't want to believe the real cause, evil hearts.
Right. Mm.
They don't.
No.
Guns are an easy out. You know, if,
yeah,
even
yeah.
And but the reality is, you can bring as many laws and changes
right.
and adjust the Second Amendment. But the reality is, the bad guys are still going to get guns
yeah.
and still carry out what they're going to do.
Well, interesting. Over the weekend, I was reading one of the arguments that's being used by those defending the Second Amendment is that Switzerland. And we've talked about Switzerland before, but I didn't realize the percentage was so high. 2 million. Adults in Switzerland have guns out of a population of 8 million.
Yeah.
The percentage of people who own guns in Switzerland is 25%. It is vastly higher, I think, than the United States. But they've only had one mass shooting in the last 25 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, so why is that? Yeah. All these guns everywhere. Mm-hmm. Why are there no mass shootings in Switzerland? Well, it's cultural. It's cultural. That's like some people are making the argument that 26 out of the 27 last mass shootings have been by young men who didn't grow up with a father.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, no one's talking about that on MSNBC.
That's right.
Why do they blame the guns so much, you think, Ed? The lefties, why do they go after? I mean, let me just say this before you answer that question. This is almost a moot point, if not being a moot point altogether. Even if you wanted to do what they want to do, that is ban the things Walker mentioned, mm-hmm. It's impossible. It's impossible. There are millions and millions of guns in this country. You talk about the proverbial horse being out of the barn. You can't. And the attitude of most gun owners is, you can get my gun when you pry it out of my cold dead hands. So, I mean, this is it would be a lost cause even if you believed in the cause. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that being said, why do these people want to blame the gun that this man used? This is going to happen again, probably
right.
This week somewhere in America. You're talking about a country of 320 million people. Okay. There's going to be a shooting every week somewhere in America that's going to get national attention, whether it's down in Texas
or in Chicago
or Las Vegas. What's so routine in Chicago, it's after the weather.
Right.
You know,
right.
Huh? And in other news,
they're
closed tonight. 5 more deaths in Chicago. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I'll just give you my opinion.
Yeah, go
it's
ahead.
Going to sound conspiratorial, but I think behind the progressive movement is Marxism, and Marxism is dictatorship, and guns represent, in the hands of civilians and citizens, represent a major obstacle for the Marxist takeover of America. Now, I'm not saying that all these groups
right.
understand that, but I think that's, and so you have all these anti-gun people, like you said, who don't want your average citizen to have a gun.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Trust the state. That's what they believe. You can
right.
trust the state. But we saw what happened in Parkland.
Yeah.
When you just rely, and many, many good police officers, but in that case, the state, quote unquote, let down those kids.
And there's no turning back either. So let's
right.
just say hypothetically they get everything they want. They get their dream world, their utopia where there's no guns. Well, murders keep happening and all the criminals have guns and mass shootings keep happening, unfortunately. But they won't grant it and say, okay, well, our policies didn't work. Let's go back to the Second Amendment. There's no
yeah.
turning back. Once
Same
they
thing
take
with the
guns,
First Amendment. You lose it, you religious liberty, you lose it for good.
Here's what's astounding. One of the best suggestions coming out of all of this has been to have armed police officers on every campus, to have them there. What's amazing, in some corners, the liberals are saying, no, we don't want that.
Right.
We don't want an armed, trained police officer on campus.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. no, because that doesn't suit the narrative. What we really want to do
right.
is get rid of people having guns.
Yes.
Also, I agree with everything you said, Ed. I think this is a Soros.
Right.
If you surveyed those people at these rallies, they may not be able to know who George Soros is, majority of them. But it is it's a feel-good position to take to say, I'm against guns.
Right.
Because guns kill.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That makes you feel good. Okay.
Yeah.
Although I think the motive is what you're talking about ultimately would be to control society with the government by taking away the arms of everybody. Now, again, I don't think that's possible.
Right.
But that is the perfect world that these people want.
These guys are such hypocrites. I love your idea. If I ever get in a debate with a anti-gun person,
yeah.
Your argument, I think, shows their hypocrisy. Say, you don't have a gun in your home? No, I don't. Then I want you to put a big sign out front on your front lawn. Gun-free zone. That's all you have to say. Gun-free zone. No guns. and you just wait for the home invasion.
And why won't they do that?
Because they know criminals will come to the gun-free zone.
And I think the statistics are over 90% of mass shootings in U.S. history or in modern U.S. history have occurred at gun-free zones.
Yes. Gun-free zones. Soft targets with no possibility of being stopped.
I think it. I think that the rally over the weekend. We'll see if this continues. I think it's just a fad thing with the kids. Sorry for my cynicism. I just think it's, hey, you're going to save our lives? Yeah, I want to save our lives. Let's save our lives.
But they're being used by adults, which is why you hear these spattering of reports of all the teachers going and the one or two students who don't want to go. There's no one here to watch you. You have to go to the it's adults.
Yeah.
Who's bussing all these people in?
Yeah,
that's right.
I
think what
Soros
you need to do is you need to start with a state like California and ban all guns. Start with, if I were them.
You mean to experiment?
Yeah, I would start with a state and then prove to America why banning all guns is a good thing after you see the results of that in California over a 5 or 10 year period. What do you think, Ed?
Well, no, I don't want to give them 1 inch, but I understand what you're saying.
But we've got the sample in Chicago.
I think they need it.
Well, that's true.
We already have the sample.
It's hard to get tougher gun laws than D.C.
and Chicago,
Baltimore and Chicago, and they are awash in murders.
Yep.
Baltimore, I think, is number one now. They've surpassed Chicago.
Basis. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What else we got, Fred?
This will come as a shock. President Trump is making news this morning.
Really?
We're just Monday.
Okay.
News number one, the Trump administration is booting out 60 Russian diplomats.
60?
60, yep.
I don't know, there's 60 here.
Yep, sure are. And according to the Associated Press, they're all spies working in the U.S. under diplomatic cover, including a dozen at Russia's mission to the United Nations. And this is in support of what happened in Britain with the poisoning. No, the Russians are denying.
Poisoning?
The poisoning of these.
Maybe you misspoke there, Fred.
No.
No, it was poisoning, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Fred just said in support of poisoning.
No, in support of the opposition. To
oh, there you go. There you go. I missed that word.
There you go.
That's a platform you don't want to run on, pro-poisoning. You know what I'm saying? It'd be hard to.
It's hard to say. That's a hard sell,
hard to lose
isn't
people
it?
Yeah, it is on that.
But anyway, those Russians got to be on their way within 7 days.
Now, what you
does
had
it
here,
surprise anybody that we have? We know that the Russians have 60 spies, most of them living in Washington D.C.
Well, we have 60 spies over there, I'm sure.
Well, this is for a public warning.
Yes.
To Putin.
Yeah.
I mean, we like to the point you're making. We knew they're here. Mm-hmm. We're kicking them out now as a public statement we're making.
Well, for those who haven't been following the news, evidently the Russians are. It's widely believed that the Russians, i.e., the government of Putin, had a man,
one of their ex spies.
He was found dead in London by poisoning.
Yes,
nerve agent,
and that's the trademark. Those who oppose Putin, right?
Yes.
In fact, they kind of joke about it, don't they? The Russians, hey, bad stuff happens. Remember last week or whatever they said, you better not go and retire in the West because bad stuff happens to people who do from Russia.
Right.
They seem to die.
So President Trump calls and congratulates Putin, but then he kicks 60 diplomats.
Yes. And there's one more announcement coming from Trump. We got to talk about this when we come back after the break.
Dr. Robert Jeffress will be with us too momentarily. They're having a big Easter March, I guess, in Dallas.
Actually happened last night.
They already had it. Okay, we'll talk to him about that. And then Jonathan Evans, who is the son of Tony Evans. We're going to have him on for a few minutes as well this next half hour. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Remember that Ronald Reagan, his staff at the time surrounding him when he went to Berlin to speak, said, no matter what you do, don't say, tear down this wall. They took it out of the speech, and he, in pencil, put it back in. He didn't listen to his advisors either.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Well, our June Spiritual Heritage Tour is full, and our September trip is filling up fast. So if you want to go with us to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon for our Spiritual Heritage Tour, you need to sign up soon. We're going to be seeing lots and lots of sites, including the Capitol, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials, the Korean and Vietnam Memorials, the Arlington National Cemetery, and much, much more. For all the information on this tour, September the 19th through the 22nd, please go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information. And we also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. That's a separate trip, but we put them back-to-back in case you want to do both of those tours. Again, that's in September. For more information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. Conservatives across the country are dejected, disenchanted, and downright demoralized, dumbfounded that President Trump and congressional Republicans would betray we the people, signing a spending bill that provides hundreds of millions of dollars for Planned Parenthood, as well as sanctuary cities, jacking up government spending that will inevitably lead to higher taxes. I take no pleasure in what I'm about to say, but the Republicans better brace themselves because the day of reckoning is coming. If congressional Republicans have any chance at saving their House and Senate majorities, they must replace Speaker Paul Ryan and Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. If they refuse to do so, the voters should demand primary opponents in the midterm elections for every Republican lawmaker that signed off on the spending bill. There must be retribution for Republicans who campaign like conservatives but govern like Democrats. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Appreciate you listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Ed, Walker, and Fred, and you're listening to American Family Radio. You can check us out on the internet. We're live video streaming this show at, what is it again, Walker?
Facebook. Today's Issues Facebook, on Facebook.
Yeah. Now, are we giving away any personal information to people there, Walker,
when they
visit our Facebook?
We might not be, but
we aren't.
Who knows what Facebook is doing.
We're not, but Facebook may be. Facebook is apologizing to everybody, aren't they? What are they apologizing for?
Well, there were reports of a data breach with an analytics firm that Cambridge Analytica, who was basically mining, they were mining Facebook users' data to use it.
I'm totally shocked.
Well, here's the thing, too.
Fred?
Yeah. Here's the thing that there's questions about whether or not they were, because it's one thing to pitch ads to people based on their web surfing.
Right, that
history,
happens all the time. We're talking about more than that.
But they're talking about the possibility that they were using pitching information to influence the way people voted. Mm-hmm. So,
are you influenced by a Facebook ad on how to vote?
No.
Okay.
Or what to eat?
Yeah.
Or what to watch?
Okay,
I'm watching hockey.
Anyway,
I don't care what else is on Facebook.
I think as someone once told me, one of our Jim Shepard, our IT director here, just assume that everybody knows what you're doing on the internet,
right?
Because they do.
Yep.
Not
yep.
everybody, but you know, companies know because they want to tailor ads to you.
Yep.
They're going to mine personal data as much as they can to sell you something.
I've told the story that I don't know, what, 4 or 5 years ago, I had looked online to buy. I wanted to buy a Los Angeles, or at the time St. Louis, Rams sweatshirt.
Right.
And decided against it. But then for the next several weeks, everywhere I went, I saw
on
ads.
On the internet, you mean?
On the internet. I saw ads for St. Louis Rams gear.
Yep.
And I thought, wow, the Rams are really popular. Everywhere I go, there's stuff. And then I realized, wait a second.
Uh-huh.
They know it's me, and they're pitching ads for this.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a kinda scary moment.
It is kind of eerie.
Scary moment.
It is kind of eerie when you, if I look up somewhere to, you know, like a, you know, to go on a vacation, and I type in Cancun or or whatever, and then, you know.
Yeah.
Then you're looking at. You're
6 months worth of ads.
But then you're going like, they're following me.
Or, like the paintings that
I got
the
something.
Eyes
I, you know, I look up a golf training video, and, and then I'll get, you know, it follows you. That comes, you get to pop up ads on that kind of stuff. Anyway, just assume you're being tracked.
Yeah, because you are.
Because you are big brother and big company, big corporation are watching you. Hey, something good happened in Dallas, Texas with the and Dr. Robert Jeffers, our good friend, was in large part responsible for what happened here. And it was a we wanted to talk about that because, Robert, you with us?
I am.
How you doing, brother?
Mayor, doing great. Really great. We had a great march last night for eternal life. Had the 3,000, they say, marched with us through the streets of downtown Dallas, carrying this giant illuminated cross on Palm Sunday evening as a way of saying we think the ultimate solution for America's problems is Jesus Christ. So it was just a tremendous evening.
Whose idea was it?
Well, we actually did this last year for the first time, and this year just happened that this came the day after the March for Our Lives demonstrations all throughout America for gun control legislation to solve the violence problem. And by the way, we're not against that. We think there very well may be a need to look at legislation regarding gun control, but if that's the only thing we do, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a cancer. It doesn't deal with the root problem, which is the human heart, and no legislation can change a person's heart. That's what the gospel of Christ does. So it's not an either-or, it's a both-and, but secularists, they want to leave out the spiritual element altogether.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about what happened there in Florida. And, you know, you had the rallies for gun control. And I was just wondering why the students didn't rally in front of the jail where the murderer was being held, saying, how could you kill our friends? How could you kill our classmates? We're outraged at you for your actions. No, it was this, you know, we need gun, as if that would have stopped this man. You know, if he'd have said, oh, you know what? I can't go kill people today. I can't even lawfully get a gun.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As if that really happens in the real world. So 3,000, where did you march from? In front of First Baptist?
We marched from the fountain in front of our church, First Baptist Dallas, downtown. We marched down Irby Street and San Jacinto Street and came down to Clyde Warren Park, which is a huge park in the middle of downtown Dallas. We erected that cross. We had a worship service there in the middle of the park with all of those who were just there for a Sunday evening. Sandy Patty was there, led some great music, and then I preached a message from John 3 and gave an invitation.
Amen. Well, there's a name blast from the past. Sandy Patty, where is she today?
She lives in Oklahoma City, but she is still touring and, boy, still a powerful, powerful singer.
Yeah. Dr. Robert Jeffress joining us from Dallas. Well, listen, Robert, congratulations for that. That sounds like a big success, and I appreciate you guys holding up the banner high there in Dallas for the gospel message as we go into Holy Week, and appreciate your program. What are you getting good response from AFR listeners?
Listen, I was just down in your neck of the woods Thursday and Friday in Corinth, Mississippi at Wheeler Grove Church there, and I tell you, it was packed with people who love listening to AFR and Pathway to Victory. So it was great to know that people are actually tuning in down there. We're getting a great response, not only in Mississippi, but even your station here in Dallas, Fort Worth. We have a lot of people tuning in at 6 a.m. here.
Funny thing, I was going to say, I'll see you next time I see you, I guess it'll be in Israel. Robert and I have twice now, not knowing the other was going to be in Israel, met each other. I saw you standing in line to see the old city, the Wailing Wall, Western Wall, 1 year, about 5 years ago.
And then a couple of years ago, I met you at Caesarea by the Sea.
That's right.
There was Robert with his group of 25,000 people.
Yeah, and my cup of ice cream from that great ice cream place.
Exactly. But anyway, hey, listen, Robert, thanks so much. Appreciate your partnership. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks so much. Have a happy Easter.
All right, you too. Happy Easter.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Robert Jeffers. That happens to me often in Israel. I see people that I know. I mentioned this morning at devotion, and what I'm about to share has zero spiritual relevance.
Or newsworthiness.
Or newsworthiness.
But it is an interesting story.
It's just something kind of crazy that happened to me. I was in with our tour group in Israel. This is, I don't know, a week ago Wednesday, and I get an email. Check my email. And get an email from my good friend David Barton of Wall Builders. Most everybody listening to this knows who David Barton is, his name. So he says, hey, what did you think about this? He sent me some link to some story. Want to know what you think about this? And so I emailed him back and said, well, I'll get back to you later on that. Right now I'm with my tour group in Israel, and we can talk when I get back. And he emails me back, and he goes, really? I'm in Israel too. Wow, this is neat. Where are y'all? And I said, I'll type back to him, well, we're in Jerusalem. And he types back to me, really? Our group is in Jerusalem too. We're doing A, B, C, and D. We just got through doing this, right, and the other. And I go, what hotel are you staying at? Or he said that to me. I've forgotten exactly which. Grand Court Hotel? And he said, no, I said, well, I'm at the Grand Hotel, Grand Court Hotel too. So I said, I guess I'll see you at breakfast.
So halfway across the world, tour, same time, Jerusalem, same time, same hotel.
Same hotel, and didn't know the other one was going to be in Israel.
The only thing funnier would have been, I'm in the bathroom right now. Well, somebody's in my bathroom.
Well, I didn't ask him what room he was in, because I thought that was getting a little weird right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I didn't want him to say, Tim to say, I'm in 917. He was going, well, I'm in 918. I'll be right over. We can play cards or something. Oh, man.
Not that you gamble.
No, for entertainment purposes only. Anyway, that was crazy right there. Now, you're listening to American Family Radio. Got another story, Fred, before we go to our next interview?
Yeah, well, prior to kicking out the 60 Russian diplomats this morning, the president was on his Twitter account last night. And this is in connection with the 2,232-page spending bill that he reluctantly signed into law last week.
I was trying to block that out of my mind completely.
I know. Thank you, Fred.
I just want to bring it back because
sure,
I know
Fred.
It brings great joy to so many people. So you will remember that the president got squat. He wanted $25 billion to build a wall, and he got like, what, 1.6?
You mean as far as the wall goes, he got squat?
Yep.
He did get military funding, which is what he tried.
But he got squat for the wall. Mm-hmm. He wanted $25 billion. He got 1.6.
I just like the way a Canadian says squat. Say it
again. Let me say it again.
Squat, eh?
Squat,
eh?
The military, as you mentioned, got $700 to $716 billion. Listen to the tweet. This is President Trump.
This morning?
This is last night.
Last night, okay.
Because of the $700 and $716 billion gotten, this is the president I'm quoting here, to rebuild our military, many jobs are created, and our military is again rich. Building a great border wall with drugs, bracket poison, and enemy combatants pouring into our country is all about national defense. Build wall, in capital letters, through M. Exclamation point. The assessment being made of that tweet this morning is this. The president did not get his $25 billion to build the wall, and what may happen later today, because there is some speculation of some kind of announcement with regards to this, he's going to say because that wall is needed for national security reasons, I'm the commander-in-chief, I'm going to have our military go down and build that wall. If that happens, the next video you see is Chuckie Schumer's head spinning.
Right.
Because Schumer, Senate Minority Leader, Chuck Schumer, was celebrating the fact that the president didn't get the money for his wall.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats together were celebrating. This is a victory for them that the president doesn't get to build his wall.
And would apparently, he, if this is what he's saying, he'd use the Army Corps of Engineers.
Yes.
So you'd use some of that, that money.
$700 billion.
And then when he makes that announcement, Walker, what did you say this morning would happen immediately?
Well, my pessimistic side, or my realistic side, said a judge would likely strike it down.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's going to, listen, never a dull moment. This is going to get interesting.
No, but he is the commander-in-chief.
Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to Mexico paying for this wall? Did y'all ever believe that in the first place?
No.
Nobody did?
He'd have to do some kind of backdoor stuff. You'd have to tax money that's going, leaving the country.
Tariffs.
Kind of thing.
Some of it probably would take legislative action.
I never thought that Mexico would say, okay, yeah, we'll fund it.
We'll do it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Let me just say a couple things on that, and then we'll go to our guest. I believe absolutely that President Trump won the Republican primary for three words. Now, there were a lot of reasons, a lot of issues at stake. Build the wall. Okay, when he said that in New York at Trump Tower, when he announced, you know, that day, you remember he got in trouble because he said Mexico's not sending us their best?
Right, yeah.
Remember that? He got in trouble for that? Well, that resonated with a lot of people who were tired of seeing people come here illegally by the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, over our southern border, unregulated, undocumented, illegal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change their humanity.
Right.
Those people are oftentimes desperate people who are looking for a better life.
And I don't blame them. They're trying to feed their families. I understand. What I'm saying is their motive.
Yeah. Well, if you believe in the – okay, we can talk about that
later. I'm just saying,
a lot of times desperate people.
Right.
But that doesn't change the fact that you have to have law and order.
Right. That's our perspective.
You have to have law and order, sure. And you have to have border security, yeah. Or else, you don't, as President Trump said, you don't have a country. Mm-hmm. And he's right about that. And that resonated with a vast number of people in our country, right. And I think got him elected more than anything else to deal with this issue, this national security issue. So I'm just saying that I think President Trump better figure out something to get the wall built, or his credibility is going to suffer with the people who elected him. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. You know, that's his problem to solve,
right?
Not mine, because but I agree with him. But he needs to come up with some way, and maybe he's saying this is a way that he uses money that was designated for the military to build a wall. I like that, and I don't like that. I like that because it's sneaky good, mm-hmm. And it gets a job done that needs to be done. I don't like it because I don't like presidents unilaterally changing something that the legislature didn't intend to support.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's something I disagree with. You understand my point there?
Yeah, because
I wouldn't want President Obama doing that right there, taking money that you know wasn't intended to do something and then switching it.
Right.
And I'm not sure he can.
He can.
Yeah. I mean, usually this money for the
military.
President
Trump needs to straight up say, we need the money for the wall. Let's vote for it tomorrow.
Yeah.
The House, the Senate, and then we got a guest.
How many billions, though, did Barack Obama give Iran on that airplane?
I know.
Pallets.
I know. That was horrible.
Yeah. Was it over 100
yeah.
billion?
Yeah, I don't know where that money came from.
Right. Okay, yeah. But he did it all by himself.
No, he took money that was. He took money from some federal government and just designated it for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the president has a lot of leeway on things like that. I just think, anyway, we can revisit that another time. But I think the burden now is on the president, and I know he probably feels the burden as a, you know, to get something done here, or else, as I say, it's going to damage his credibility with his main campaign promise that sort of got him off the ground. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, our guest now is Jonathan Evans. Jonathan is the chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys. He's also the son of Dr. Tony Evans, who is heard on American Family Radio, and most everybody listening is familiar with the ministry of Dr. Evans. And Jonathan joins us now. He's going to be speaking. He speaks all over the country, but he's going to be speaking in Tupelo, Mississippi, our hometown, on Good Friday, March the 30th. Jonathan, Tim Wildman here. Thanks for being our guest.
It's good to be here, Tim. Thanks for having me.
So you're the are you best known for being the Dallas Cowboys chaplain or the son of Tony Evans?
they both go hand in hand, but the one that's lasted the longest is Tony Evans. So
yeah,
I think that's the one that I'm going to go with is yeah. the son of Evans.
Hey, tell us about your dad from his son. We all know him as a Bible teacher, but tell us about Tony Evans, the dad.
Oh, well, I mean, he's great. I mean, the thing that we love about it, all my siblings, is that what you see on the stage is what we got at home. There was no differences in the man on the behind the pulpit and the man that was at home. I mean, outside of yelling at you.
Oh, man. We're talking to Jonathan.
He's just great. I mean, yeah. He's great and extremely, extremely, extremely patient.
Yeah.
And so I realize that now, as I have four small children. So.
Yeah. How many siblings? How many siblings did you have?
Four. It's four of us total. I had three siblings. So it's
gotcha.
Crystal, Priscilla, Anthony, and then myself.
Gotcha. Talking to Jonathan Evans. He's going to be speaking at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Breakfast of Champions at the Orchard Church in Tupelo, Mississippi, this Friday, 7 to 8:30. And if you want more information on that, you need to call or visit the FCA website for Northeast Mississippi. I'll find this in just a minute, the information. While I look for that, tell us if you would, Jonathan, about your relationship with the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, this is my seventh year as a chaplain for the Cowboys, but it started as a player. I was in the draft class in 2005 with DeMarcus Ware, Marion Barber, Jay Ratliff, all those guys. You don't know me because they were better than I was, but it doesn't matter. I was still there, and so it's, my career started there with Bill Parcells, and then I went off to NFL Europe, came back, and played a few years at Buffalo and Washington. So I had a five-year stint in the NFL, and then God changed my direction. I ended up going to from the NFL to seminary. So I ended up going to seminary at Dallas Theological, and then I had an opportunity when John Kitna came back to the team. He wanted my dad to be the chaplain, and my dad said, "Well, you know, I used to be the chaplain back in the Tom Landry days, but now that I have a church and I'm on Sundays, I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't really have time to be the Cowboys chaplain, but this will be a good practical experience for my son, Jonathan, who played in the NFL and who is in seminary." And so it went from him to me in a matter of 3 seconds in a conversation with John Kitna. And so I kind of got thrown in there, and it was a great opportunity, though. I went in. When I went back, some of my teammates that I was in the draft with were still there. And so...
Cool.
It was a fun opportunity. That's kind of how I started, and it's been great since then.
So, what are the perks there? You get like free tickets for the season, or what?
Well, the primary perk for me is being able to serve God in the area I'm passionate in.
Amen.
That's my primary perk, and so I'm excited to be able to do that. I do get to go to every game as the chaplain, so I fly to the away games. I'm there at the home games, so I'm a part of the fabric, if you will, of the organization, and so that's great to be around it. And they do give me two tickets to my wife and whichever child she wants to take, whoever's behaving the best.
All right, as a Mississippi State grad, you got to tell me Dak Prescott comes to your FCA events.
Well, yeah, he's at every single chapel service. He doesn't miss.
Is he really?
Wow.
Yep, he's 100%.
That's great.
That's great.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's
Can you 100%. Say that about all Ole Miss players that are on the team? I'm just teasing Ole Miss folks, just teasing. All right, listen, I want to tell folks, you're going to be speaking, Jonathan Evans will be speaking this Friday at the Orchard Church in Tupelo, Mississippi, at the Breakfast of Champions, sponsored by the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And here's the information if you want tickets for the event. They're going to sell out, I'm sure. But you can visit the website msfcad1.org. msfcad1, and .org. Check it out. Or you can call Chrissy Boren at 662-315-0860. Again, 662-315-0860 for more information about the event, the Breakfast of Champions, this Friday. Do you speak to groups all over America? How can people get in touch with you, Jonathan?
They can just go to my website. I speak all over the country. A lot of FCA events, sport events, churches on Sundays. I mean, so that's what I do. That's what God has given me the passion for. And so JonathanBlakeEvans.com. It's just my full name. Is how you can reach out to me, email me, or go to the speakers forum, and I'd love to chat with you. JonathanBlakeEvans.com.
JonathanBlakeEvans.com. That's Jonathan's website. Check it out. Hey, appreciate you, Jonathan, being on with us. God bless your ministry, brother, and we respect highly respect your dad, and now you continuing the family legacy of spreading the gospel, standing for God's word, and we wish you much success. Thank you, brother.
All right, thank you. We'll talk soon.
Okay, Jonathan Evans there joining us. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's up next, Fred?
Well, let's stay with the NFL.
Okay.
NFL owners meeting this week in Orlando, and the headline is National Anthem will be the hot topic at this meeting. What are they going to do? We're talking about the protests
that took place.
The kneeling.
Kneeling.
Let me just say this about that. That diminished as the season went along. Once the players, I think, and the owners began to see the reaction of the public, to the point where at the Super Bowl there was nobody that took a knee. Am I right?
I think that's true.
No, there was nobody that took a knee at the Super Bowl. So I'm not sure that this isn't over.
Well, and there never was a majority of players doing
no,
it.
No, it was 5%,
right,
or something like that. Right. But they got all the attention, and
that's where the cameras were.
Yeah, I did feel sorry in a way for the 95% of players who are patriotic, who stood with their hands over their heart, who were embarrassed by their colleagues, or at least it didn't agree. Not necessarily that there was these players protesting didn't have a right to protest. They certainly do. As Americans, they have a right to protest. It's that people didn't want it using company time.
Right.
And people paying to go see a football game where the American flag is being protested. That's what people were opposed to. And it was a huge backlash. And a lot of players said, hey, we're not protesting the flag. We're protesting police brutality, or we're protesting injustices against minorities, or whatever the case may be. But I think most people said, that's fine, but do it on your own time and your own dime. You know, but anyway, Fred, so this is going to be a topic at the owners' meeting?
At the owners' meeting. Now, didn't they, the league approved with the teams contributing $100 million into a pot to help resolve the things that these players said they were concerned about?
I don't know how much money was given, but it was kind of widely understood that this was a payoff.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. To maybe try to stop it.
So I'll be surprised. I think this may be over because the owners and the players. Now, I think the impact financially could be worse this year than it was last year in the NFL, because people buying season tickets, television ads are going to go down because the viewership went down 10% last year. Mm-hmm. So I think the damage has been done, but I doubt very seriously you'll see much issue approach, but I could be wrong. We'll see. We will be back momentarily with more, momentarily, like in 5 minutes after the news, for more of Today's Issues right here on American Family Radio. We'll see you back here then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.